Those individuals that are maybe in encampments or are not coming to shelters, I mean, they really can't be forced, can they? I mean, so is there a strategy that to reach those people?
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. They can't be forced to go to shelter. They can't be forced to go into housing treatment. So one thing is that we do, of course, operate when we have outreach services on that progressive engagement model, knowing that we have to make repeated attempts. Sometimes it's making sure that people know of the availability of assistance or services and making sure that it's available when they choose to accept it. But there's definitely going to be a need to also look at our policies and our laws. So, you know, there are some positive developments. Eastern State Hospital was recently in receipt of some funding to do things like assisted outpatient treatment, which might be able to connect persons with court-ordered treatment. And I think we need to continue to look at opportunities where there would be interventions for people that presently we're not seeing. Oftentimes when we are working with folks who, in our mindset, definitely would have an appropriateness for an intervention from something like Adult and Protective Services, they're found to be competent to make their own choices. And so that is something where, even if we have evidence that someone is actively a harm or a risk of harm to themselves or others, sometimes we don't have the ability to intervene and get them with a level of assistance that would produce more positive and more sustained kind of solution for them. And so I can't say with certainty what every single aspect of that approach is going to look like, but we are initiating a lot of conversations in the community. My office has a group of individuals that meet. It's larger than our homeless service provider. It also encompasses folks like mental health care providers, sometimes participants from law enforcement or code enforcement who frequently come into contact with this population. And we're working across a lot of different groups to identify system high utilizers and try to develop individualized solutions. If we're having barriers with our traditional approach, how can we break down barriers? For example, if there is a barrier that is getting someone to complete a psychiatric evaluation by coming into an office, how can we get a clinician out in the field in front of that individual to complete that evaluation where they are, rather than hold on to an arbitrary barrier?
Does that happen much at this point? Do you see that as being feasible where someone goes to the individual?
Yeah, so our most recent agreement for street outreach funding did provide funds for that team and the proposal to maintain a part-time clinician on their team that would be able to go out into the field in that kind of capacity. And we're continually looking for additional opportunities, whether those be additional grants or just new partnerships across systems that can better meet people where they are.
Now, I think if I understood what you were saying, I wanted to ask you about this. As far as the housing side and getting people into, you know, permanent housing, it sounded like you were saying in some cases you're running up to, because you gave that example of $1 over the amount, you know, where it's a little difficult to get into an apartment setting is what it sounded like to me.
Yeah. So you're absolutely correct. Most of our programs are going to rely on our rental market for the actual provision of housing units. And so sometimes we encounter barriers to that, such as stigma of the population that we work with. And so we see that sometimes in a flat out denial to participate in programs where there would be a third party payment. But also sometimes it's things like a landlord may be setting their rent values just above what we are allowed per federal guidelines on those grant programs to compensate for. And additionally, there's not necessarily a increase to those fair market rent values every single year. So sometimes it can take a little while for those increases to really get to a point where they align with our local market conditions. You know, Fayette County has seen some significant rental increases in recent years. We're fortunate that we're going to see an FMR or fair market rent value increase. However, that also probably means that to fund that increase, there will probably be fewer dollars available across the country for actual operation of programs.
Okay. And one question about the numbers that I wrote down, it's in your presentation too, but the count this year, our actual homeless count was what, 800 and what was it?
We had 815 persons that were experiencing literal homelessness, so that would include those in emergency shelter, transitional housing, and unsheltered locations.
Okay. And since January, I don't know, is there any way to assess if there's been much fluctuation since January?
So I think a lot of probably the fluctuation that we're probably going to see are more like seasonal trends, where we would have examples of persons that might be more likely to go to a shelter environment when the weather is less hospitable. And so they might have a more visible presence in unsheltered locations on our streets, places not meant for human habitation. We do have some other data sets that would look at, you know, what our trends are across the entire service year, but we are looking towards the future to try to implement more than one point in time count throughout the calendar year. It's something that we didn't have an ability to get off the ground this year. When we did that count in January, we operated with over 150 volunteers, so that can be a significant coordination effort and take a lot of boots on the ground, but it is something that as we continue to try to increase things like our street outreach presence that we're planning for the future to try to look at some points throughout the calendar year to give us a better sense of how that might fluctuate.
Or at least, you know, maybe what, winter and one summer?
I mean, I think what our initial strategy will be is a summer counterpoint to our winter count. And then eventually I would like to see us be able to complete something like quarterly counts.
Yeah.